Hey, everybody. We are back. I'm Ricky Hampton, along with former Milwaukee Bucks center Paul Mokeski. This is We Got Next. We're getting off to a little late start. We got a tech for technical difficulties. But, Mo, we are here, and we are ready to go.
Our staff of electricians and people behind the scenes, Ricky, took care of it.
Well, you can't fire me. At least you can't fire me because I'm part of the show. So maybe I shouldn't speak too soon on that.
Yeah, right? Well, you don't want to be coach of the year or something because then you'll be fired immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. But we want to welcome everybody in on this Monday evening. Clearly, we got a lot to talk about as we this is draft week, Mo, and everybody in the NBA is lying right now.
Yeah.
What are the days like leading up to the draft, but before this, Steve Schroeder says, we'll find $25.
Wow, okay. There's nowhere we can send that, Steve. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots going on with free agency and trade possibilities. The draft's coming Thursday. All the general managers and player personnel are on the phones and, you know, trying to guess what other people are thinking. And 90% of what is said over the phone are lies. They're trying to deceive each other. You know, it's just part of the game. And, you know, behind the scenes is really interesting, you know. And then, you find out, you know, who you can trust. That's why a lot of times in the NBA, you see trades made by general managers that know each other, that have a past, because then they actually trust each other. You know, maybe, someone played for Pat Riley, or, you know, someone played with somebody else, and, Michael, you know, it's interesting, you know, Michael Dunleavy Jr. just got his general manager job a couple days ago, and he's throwing headfirst right into the fire of, you know, Draymond Green is, denied his player's option.
Declined his option.
So he denied it, right? He didn't sign it, so he's a free agent. Which doesn't, you know, a lot of people overreact and think, well, he's not going. That doesn't mean that. That means either he's trying to get something done longer term with the Warriors, or he's trying to get something signed so he can be traded. So, that's a big thing for the Warriors at this point. You know, they've been running it back for a long time. But now, after this year and the tribulations they've had inside their organization, they have a big decision to make. Are they going to commit to Draymond Green, who, in my opinion, has taken a step down talent-wise and effectiveness-wise, because of his age, and he's had a great run. He's still a very good player. I don't know. I saw somebody say that he said on a podcast that he's still one of the top five players in the league. Very wrong there. You're not even close to a top five player. Come on, man. You know, you need to get rid of your ego or whatever. But he's still an effective player. Could be a great piece. And we talked last week. You know, if I was the Denver Nuggets, I would look to see if there's any way I could grab him, because he could be a nice fit at the four, and he could back up the Joker because he does a lot of what the Joker does. He can't shoot threes, but he's a good passer, dribble handoff guy, pick set picks, all that stuff, backdoor passes. He does a lot of what the Joker does, and he could be a nice little fill-in for him when the Joker goes to the bench. But that's just one of the things that's going on right now.
I didn't think Draymond would be our lead conversation tonight, but because he came up quick, I do want to hit him, because I mean, he just can't go anywhere and be effective. Am I right about that, Paul? Doesn't he have to be in a kind of a particular situation to really utilize his skills? Because he's not going to be scoring.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so many stagnant offenses in the NBA, right? We complained about the Boston Celtics, right? How stagnant they got. you know, with Brown or Tatum just going one-on-one. And, you know, Draymond Green would not fit in there, you know, because he needs motion on his offense. You know, he needs to hit guys back door and do dribble handoffs and set picks and back picks for people. And that's how he's effective in his great passing ability. Now, he's a good defender, not as great as he was, but still good, and a good rebounder, and he can push the ball. But, yeah, he needs to be an effective. He needs to be in the right system, which he's been in for years now with the Warriors. It was a perfect fit. So that's why I believe the Warriors are trying to find some way to keep him. But, you know, the whole thing with the pool situation and the punch at the beginning of the year set a bad tone for everything. And, you know, I told you, you can say whatever you want. Oh, we shook hands and everything's okay, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe that. I think something like that sticks in the back of your mind for a long time, especially if you're a young player, and that's a problem for the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, but man, the big news of the day was made in Phoenix, where the Suns are trading away Chris Paul and Shamet for Bradley Beal, which gives them just some ultimate firepower on the offensive end with Beal, Booker, and Kevin Durant. I'm interested to know, Mo, how do you see that working? Because all those guys kind of do their thing with the ball, although Durant is really capable of just fitting right into any offense. But Beal and Booker playing together. How do you see this?
I see it as a potential problem. I don't see it like a Luka Kyrie deal where they're both ball, point guards and they both, you know, have to have the ball in their hands. I don't see it as that. But, you know, they do have the ball in their hands. KD needs to think how he played with the Warriors, right? He fit into a system, and he played with Clay and Curry, so you know he can fit in. And the Warriors, when they were successful with him and won a championship, they didn't have really a point guard, right? They all kind of brought the ball down and handled it. The guy that's going to be the odd man out and could throw a wrench in this whole deal is Ayton, the center, because he's already complained about not getting enough shots. Well, guess what? You're going to get fewer shots now. They have a veteran coach now, you know, that might help that a little bit. But, you know, if you look at it, Booker, 28 points a game, KD, 26. Bradley Beal averaged 24 last year, but he's averaged almost 30 before. And then Ayton's at about 18, who could be 20. That's almost 100 points a game between four guys. That's amazing. You know, but – you know, it's going to come to how they fit in, how they're willing to work with each other, and really, in my opinion, how Ayton will accept this and how they will keep him involved in the offense. You know, I always believed in the best teams, you know, when your centers run the floor, give them some passes, give them the ball, let them get involved, and, you know, get him excited. Then he'll rebound and block shots for you because guess what? No matter how much you can score, you're not going to win the West, and you're not going to win an NBA championship unless you can guard the Denver Nuggets and Joker. You know, it's just not going to happen. So Ayton is a guy that's big enough to defend him, can be effective to defend him. I still think they need another big on that team. He's, to me, you know, Beal and Booker and KD, they can do what they can fit in and do what they want. They just have to understand, get to know each other's game. Ayton is the big piece right here. If he buys in and he's not concerned about points and he's more concerned about winning, he got his contract, right? So he needs to, you know, if he can do that, then that's a big, big advantage for them. And, you know, they also picked up, you know, a couple of younger players like Isaiah Todd, who's a young big that played in the G League mostly. He's 6'10". And Jordan Goodwin, who's a nice, solid point guard, who's younger too. So that helps him in the long run too. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out.
Steve Schroeder brings up an interesting point, talking about Durant maybe being hurt again. And not only Durant is a kind of an injury concern now, but so is Bill. Bill has not played more than 60 games since 2018. Durant hadn't played more than 55 games since he injured his Achilles in 2019.
Yeah,
so Booker missed some time last year with injuries.
Yeah, but that's everybody's problem, right? Everybody's hurt. LeBron was hurt. AD was hurt. Middleton was hurt. Lopez was hurt. You know, everybody gets hurt. They're going to have to manage it enough. You know, at this point in the West, we know, right? You know, you can finish first or you can finish eighth and still get into the finals, right? So, hey, Adam, what's up, man?
Yeah.
You got to manage that. That's why you have to have enough depth to be able to have home court, at least for the first round in the playoffs. So that's where these young players, come in and, they got Cam Johnson, who's a decent player, Torrey Craig, who's a free agent. They got some other pieces they need to keep. And here's a name that no one's talking about. And Adam, you will know this, right? They picked up a big, his name is Jock Landale. He's 6'11", 265-pound center from Australia. And he's a big physical player. You saw him a little in the playoffs, and he was pretty effective. If they can sign him, they can take some of the pressure off of KD and Ayton and that. And, that could help them a lot if the Suns do that.
On the flip side, Chris Paul is on the move again. Do you think Adam, let's get this in from Adam. That's his guy.
He's in Australia, man. So I don't know what time it is.
Yeah, Aussie guy.
Oi.
Good call, Vic Mojo. Jock is a fellow Aussie.
I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, Denver, we'll talk about this in the draft that bothers me, right? Denver has someone that the hardest person to guard was the Joker, because he's so big and strong and skilled. So you have to be able to combat that to win a series against the Denver Nuggets. So all those teams should be thinking along those lines about how we can guard the Joker. Now, that's not all the thing you have to do, but that's one of the things and one of the main things you have to do. So, signing a big body like Landale, is huge. So he can play 15, 20 minutes a game. If players go down more during the season and then give you 15, 20 hard in the playoffs, that's huge. And, now Chris Paul, I don't think anybody believes that Chris Paul is going to end up with the Washington Wizards. I mean, I think he's going to be on the move. The interesting part of that is
the ball movement here.
He has, and talk about injuries. He's been hurt a lot, right? So, yeah. He's still an effective, true point guard, veteran. Guys, listen to him. He can still get it done on the court, not for 35 minutes anymore, but for 30 or 29. But his contract is a huge deal right now. So, he's going to make $20 million, but no, he's going to make $30 million this year and $30 million next year if he's not waived by June 28th, which is 9 days from now. But if he's waived, then his only part of his contract is $15 million. I'm sorry, I can't get the numbers right, but if you waive him, you can save $45 million, and then he becomes a free agent. He can go where he wants and sign what he wants, because if he's going to go to a contender and chase that ring that he's been doing, he's not going to be able to make $30 or $40 million. He's going to have to come down to $15 or $20 to fit into someone's salary cap that has enough firepower to actually make a run at a championship.
Well, we talked about Draymond, where you thought he'd be a good fit. Where would Chris be a good fit? And I know it's kind of hard to get into that because the team's unsettled right now, but just kind of generally speaking.
Well, obviously a lot of people are talking about LA because that's where he's from, and he has a house there, his family's there. The Clippers would, if he was going for a championship, the Clippers would be number one, I think. However, the problem with the Clippers is right now with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with 8 players, they're at $180 million in salary already. I mean, with Kawhi and Paul George almost making $100 million between them. So, you know, they don't have much room salary cap-wise. They have the roster. Zubac's a decent center. Marcus Morris, the not-so-great twin. Norm Powell, Terrence Mann. Eric Gordon is a free agent. They can, with a team option. So they have the roster to make a run at a championship. They still need a big to compete with the Joker, but he would fit in there. And Ballmer, their owner, has, I mean, he's if not the one of the top richest owners in the NBA. When we're talking about billions of dollars. So, you know, if you're going over the salary cap, at $180 million right now, you're over it. So you're paying another double on that. So you're at $250 million probably. So to sign Chris Paul, you're gonna be at $300 million. But if you want to make a run at this championship, that's a good fit. The other team in LA, the Lakers, you know, I think he would be a good fit there. And at, this year, they're only at $100 million only. $100 million next year. So they do have room in their salary cap. What? The problem is they have Austin Reeves as a free agent. And Hachimura is a free agent, so they have to sign those guys because right now they only have LeBron, AD, Mo Bamba, Vanderbilt, and Malik Beasley. That's the only players they have at this point.
Hey, you know, Steve mentioned, of course, he loves his Bucks with Paul. What about Paul in Milwaukee?
I don't think that's I don't know what they would have to give up, but you know, Holiday's my point guard. I don't need Chris Paul. I'm not going to pay Chris Paul $1 zillion just to put back up to Holiday. So, you know, if you take him off the ball, maybe, you know, it depends on what they do with Middleton. So, you know, taking Holiday off the ball, because Chris Paul is a point guard. When he's on the floor, he has the ball. Nobody else does. It's not share the ball. You know, I'm a point guard. You're not. It's not like that. He is dribbling up. He is running the stuff. He's running sets. So,
but that would be my concern if he went to L.A. with LeBron. I know LeBron is smart enough to understand stuff. If he has somebody that could do it, but he likes to have the ball too.
Yeah, but not as much as he did. I mean, he's going to be 39 years old. He's running.
Yeah.
So I mean, if LeBron would hand the reins and the basketball at the end of games to anybody, it would be someone like Chris Paul. It wouldn't be, you know, Booker. It wouldn't even be Jamal Murray. It wouldn't be anybody like that. But Chris Paul, yeah, that relationship. And really, Chris Paul is probably only going to play 20, 25 minutes, maybe. And probably at the most important part of the game. So, you know, and when LeBron's out, which he's going to be out more now this year just to survive, you know, and you have Chris Paul there, but, you know.
I want to get to this question Adam has for you, Mo. But before that, you keep saying Chris Paul should only play 25 or 30 minutes. What is the difference as you get older in those, okay, instead of playing 35 minutes, you're going to play 30. How do those 5 minutes accumulate over the year to save a guy?
Oh, they accumulate. And it's not like, so you say 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes there. That doesn't add up to 15 on your body. That adds up to about 30 minutes, you know, especially when you get older. And, you know, all these guys, when they get at this age, you know, they're icing down after games or in a cold tub. You know, it's tough recuperation. And 5 or 6 minutes, you know, if you're used to, you know, if you're playing, let's say, you know, the Stars, I mean, look at the Denver Nuggets. Those guys play 42, 43 minutes a game. Yeah. They're younger. But mark my words, the Joker can't play 40, 43, 45 minutes a game anymore. That's too much. So get him to around 41 or 42 is a big, big advantage. So when you get older and you go from, you know, say 38 to 30 or 31, that's huge. It's just, it's like a whole quarter. You know, when you think about it, because most players, you know, out of a 12-minute quarter, they're playing, you know, 8 to 10 minutes out of that quarter. So now you kind of eliminate one whole quarter of banging and all that stuff. It's a bigger deal than people think.
Yeah. Yeah. This is from Adam. I know times change, however, Big Mo. Can you believe the value of contract that these players sign these days? Generational wealth.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like when I came in the league 100 years ago, my contract was $65,000. That's what it was. I mean, you know, but I was happy to get it, you know, and I played a game I love. But when I look back there, I remember in the league, Larry Bird, Dr. J, those guys were making $500,000. That's not even minimum anymore. I mean, those, you know, Magic Johnson signed after his first contract, he signed the first $1 million-a-year contract. I mean, that's around minimum now. But you know what? And it's not the value of the dollar. I'm telling you. You know, people say, well, you made $100,000. That's worth $500. No, it's not. It's the same. You know,
yeah.
There's a little inflation there, but it's not like what you think. But, you know, more power to them. But you're talking about Bradley Beal's contract is $210 million or $15 million, right? The next 4 years. I mean, you know, you just have to, you know, put it in a bank and collect your 8 or 10% interest. And your whole family, grandkids, their grandkids are set for life. So, you know, it's a whole new ballgame. And Adam, you know, they make more than that in their endorsements. So if Bradley Beal is making $215 million in the next 4 years, double that. So he's making $500 million. But more power to him, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I had one. Just one.
Yeah. Mo, you're about 20 years too late, man.
30?
30 years too late, yeah.
Oh, 35.
Absolutely. We got some more comments here. It seems like this came from Steve that Isaiah Thomas is going to be part of that front office with the Suns. I know he and Ishbia are tight, and so he's going to be leaning on Isaiah. Any thoughts about your former teammate?
Great player, great guy, great teammate. Not sure about his decision making in the front office. Back in the CBA days, he kind of messed that up, and the New York Knicks fiasco. So, you know, he's a good basketball mind. We'll see where that goes. Sometimes you just have to stay out of the way, you know.
Thanks for answering the question, Mo. Appreciate that. That was a great answer, Mo. The insight on that and those 5 minutes, how those 5 minutes add up. Now, we got the draft coming up Thursday. Anything you're looking for, going to be watching out for in particular?
Well, I guess I would look at who's going to be the 41st pick, right? Because that's what Joker was.
Or the 42nd, because that's what you were.
That's what I was. Yeah, I mean, you know, the draft is, you know, it's pretty much a crapshoot. I mean, you know, your draft, all these guys are so young. You're drafting on potential. There's Wembanyama, the 7'4" French kid that, you know, I watched him. I was at this game right here. He obviously runs the floor. He has an 8-foot arm span. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I played against some long players and seen some long players, but he might be the longest I've ever seen. And he's athletic. He's got a great touch, runs the floor. One of the things I was really impressed was his shot blocking. He really great timing. He can block shots without fouling. He's not a post-up guy, but he has that, you know, Dirk shot, the one-legged thing. He's got turnaround jump shots. He can run pick and rolls, handling the ball. There's his shot block right there. You know, and he does it without fouling people, but he is only about 215 pounds. I mean, you know, but anymore, the league is, you know, more finesse, I think. There's less physicality, but, you know, he's going to guard the Joker. The Joker's going to back him down and just abuse him. But his length might, if he plays it smart, might bother him. But, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he's obviously the first pick. He's got deep range right there.
When you see him shoot that shot, if you're playing against him, aren't you saying, brother, you can have that shot all day?
No. I mean, he's a really good three-point shooter. You got to make him put on the floor, hopefully come with some help, make him pass the ball, see if he'll turn the ball over. I mean, you know, he can shoot that shot. He can shoot it all day. I mean, the biggest thing he did was, he shot a three in France and tip dunked his own rebound. But anyway, you know, this is Henderson, who's played in the Ignite. I've seen him practice. I've seen him play. I've been around him a little bit. He's more of a true point guard. He's strong. He can finish, obviously. His jump shot is suspect. Not a great three-point shooter. Really, for the young man he is, he commands leadership. He knows the game. He's got a high basketball IQ. My problem with him is he floats sometimes. You kind of forget he's on the floor. He'll do stuff like that, and for 5 minutes, you think he's the best player on the court, and then the next five, he might disappear on you, and that's a concern for me.
When you say he floats, are you explaining what you mean when you say he floats?
You don't know he's there. He's gotcha. Not impactful. He doesn't get to the basket strong. He doesn't defend or rebound or push the ball. He doesn't take the ball to the basket like that. So 5 minutes, he won't do any of that. So he's floating around the court, not being effective.
Hey, I want to go back to Wembanyama for a second. Steve has a comparison there. Is he like Sam Bowie?
No, not even close. No, Sam was athletic like this, but he didn't have the touch like this. Sam could block shots. I think Victor Wembanyama is better shot blocker, and I think he runs a little better. I compare him. He was saying Sam Bowie, right? That's what he said. No, I compare him more to Ralph Sampson. Victor is more like Ralph Sampson. You know, Ralph Sampson, if Ralph Sampson was playing today, this is what he would do right here. That would be Ralph Sampson.
Wow. Well, that's a long way for a 7'4" guy to shoot it. I guess I just want my big guy a little closer to the basket, Mo.
Not if he's 250 pounds, you don't.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have someone like me beating him up. No.
Yeah.
He's not. This is how he's going to play. If people think he's going to be the joker, back to the basket, off the elbow guy, he's not. That's not him.
Well, you know, and we talked about it a little bit last week. Against Monaco in the playoffs, that eliminated his team. He struggled, and they were very, I was reading about it, they were very physical with him.
Yeah, everyone's going to be physical with him, and he's going to struggle. I've been telling you, next year, everybody thinks he's going to come in and own the league. No, he's not. He's not. He's going to have phenomenal games. He might have a game with 30 and 15, and then the next night he might have 9 and 4. Because he's a young man, he's only 18 years old or 19, and you know he's not built for the league yet. You know he won't be in his prime for another 5-7 years. So you know if people think every night he's going to perform, and it's not. He's going to be up and down. He's got great talent, but you know he's 215 pounds. You know, I mean, he's going against guys that are 240, 250 easy.
Who are grown men.
Yeah, who are grown men, and that's when he played in the French Championship. That's who he played against. Right. He played against a center that played for 4 years with the Houston Rockets. So right. You know, but he is a game changer. I mean, you're going to have patience. I mean, listen, they laughed at the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki. They laughed at him his first year in the league. He averaged 7 points a game his first year. Dirk averaged 7 points a game and 5 rebounds. So, you know, and Dirk is probably one of the top power forwards ever to play the game. So, you know, he struggled too. So, you know, this kid is, he can get there, but, you know, there's going to be people laughing at him next year. Watch. And you know, he should just go talk to Dirk, you know, because Dirk was very frustrated his first year. And, you know, and people were laughing at him and laugh, you know, and it just took time. So, you know, this is the reality. And, you know, that's what the draft is. You're drafting potential. But my God, he's 7'4", 7'5", with an 8-foot arm span. I mean, yeah. I mean, when he gets catches a lob, his chin is above the rim. It's freaky.
Yeah. And Adam, thank you for checking in with us from Aussie land. We appreciate you, brother. You have a great day over there, whatever time it is.
Yeah.
It's already Wednesday over there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks, Adam. Yeah.
And Steve, that's right. Dirk was drafted by the Bucks.
And then traded right away. Yep.
Yeah, and then they let him go. Too bad.
That was a done deal before he was even drafted, though. That was already done. Yeah. Because the only people that really went over were Donnie Nelson that went over and watched him in Germany. Dirk Nowitzki woke eyes up when he played at the Final Four. He played in an All-Star game during the Final Four in San Antonio against United States players, and that's when he woke up a lot of people.
Ron said it's midday Tuesday. Yeah. What I'm talking about, Wednesday.
It's not 2 days. Come on, get some lunch. Get some lunch, Adam.
Appreciate you, brother.
I mean, we're talking about Wembanyama. Let's talk about Chet Holmgren, right? Chet Holmgren came out last year, and you know, 7'3", 7'4", handle the ball, shoot. You know, he got hurt in the summer. We haven't even seen him. He's actually going to be officially going to be a rookie next year, so he's going to be fighting against Victor for Rookie of the Year. But you know, that's going to be interesting. But you know, these things are sometimes can be hit or miss. You know,
yeah. Hey, Mo, I was gonna ask you about when guys come in young at that age. I mean, very young, out of high school. I guess LeBron was probably the closest I've seen to just being ready to play coming out of high school. But most of these guys need how much time do you give these kids?
Well, like I told you before, when you're in a draft room, you say, "Hey, we're drafting these guys to play for some other coach, but we'll be fired by the time they can play." I mean, you know.
I mean, you joke about that, but that is an absolute fact in a lot of cases.
Well, you're drafting 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Yeah, I mean, they're going to play against 30-year-old men. So, you know, I think everybody's kind of different. I mean, you know, you look at Christian Brown. I always call him Brown because that's what, you know, but it's Brown. You know, with the Denver Nuggets, I mean, he's an end of first round pick. You know, nothing spectacular, right? He's not really super long. He's not super athletic. He shoots the three, but not knockdown three. But he just plays hard. His body is kind of built like that, and he's tough. You know, so you know he can come in and be impactful for a team right away, and he's on a team that's going to give him some minutes. You know, because the Denver Nuggets aren't very deep; they play six or seven guys, but. You know, some guys take longer, and some guys don't, you know, they never turn into what they're supposed to. So that's why you have to be cautious when you're putting all these expectations on these young kids, you know. And, you know, I keep saying, you know, they laugh at Dirk. They could laugh at Victor Wembanyama.
Steve, you're right on point, brother. I'm fighting these allergies tonight, man, but I'm going to tough through this. Hey, Mo. We see all these deals going down. We're talking, you're hearing about maybe Damian Lillard on the move. Surely we're going to hear some more news. This is draft week, so we know it's going to be some other stuff going down. But what is Denver thinking?
Well, I mean, if I'm Denver, they need a legitimate backup big, right? They need someone to back up Joker. And I think they need another wing 3-and-D guy, you know, and that's all they need. They have all their guys are secured up for a few years, you know, but they can't sit still, you know. You know, they have to make moves. So if you're playing DeAndre Jordan in the NBA Finals as your backup big, that's a red flag there. I'm sorry, you know. So You know, but here's what we're going to see on Thursday, though, and we're seeing it right now, right? So there's movement in the draft. Brandon Miller, the kid from Alabama, who was at the beginning of the year picked like the number one pick, right?
Right.
So he was the number one pick. He's dropped to about four or five now, because so he went to Charlotte and had workouts with Scoot Henderson, and Scoot Henderson performed well, and supposedly Brandon Miller did not perform so well. So you'll see some. Here's my two cents worth on Thursday. In my opinion, you'll see Brandon Miller probably drop down the list from, he was at one, he's at four now. He could drop to seven or eight till someone takes him. You never know. And there's two twins that they played with Overtime Elite. That's a program out of Atlanta.
The Thompson brothers.
Yeah, so they signed high school players and young players, and they make money and play. So the Thompson brothers, Amen and Asar, are both 6'8", super long, athletic guys, really young, really raw, that are moving their way up the ladder. You know, I'm interested to see where Grady Dick goes, the three-point shooter from Kansas. 6'8", shoots the light out of three, because here's my opinion. Christian Brown, playing as well as he did in the finals, is going to lift Grady Dick's stock, because he played at Kansas. He played the same position, and in my opinion, is better. So his stock might rise. So stuff like that's going on. Here's my pet peeve, though. I looked at the mock draft, Ricky, and there's only, out of the 60 picks, there's only eight that are 6'11 or taller centers. Only eight. And here's my point. Over the last 5 years, the MVP of the NBA has been Embiid, the Joker twice, and Giannis. They're all 7 foot. And the person we're talking about, the hardest to guard in the NBA, is the Joker. And he's 7 foot center. And no one's drafting him. Maybe they're not out there, but they're not trying to draft him. And I know one guy that's out there that now is going back to Purdue is
Edie.
Edie is 7'3". 300 pounds, college player of the year, averaged 24 points and 13 rebounds and two block shots a game, and no one was going to pick him in the first round.
That is absolutely crazy.
That's mind-boggling. If you know, he's going to be young, but he's got the curve. He's like, to me, he's like in between Brooke Lopez and Yao Ming. He's kind of in there. You know, he's got a good touch. He makes 80% of his free throws. He's not as he can't move as well as Lopez, but he moves better than Yao, who's in the Hall of Fame. So that's mind-boggling that NBA teams are picking guards and wings and 3-on-3 Ds and all these, and they're not picking like an Edie, who, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. So that's my venting for the night of pick some big guys, man.
Yeah, and really, with the exception of the Golden State championships, we've had big guys. You look, when the Lakers won it, I think that was 20. They had Dwight Howard.
Yep.
They had Gasol, and had Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Playing big time minutes. They were a big team.
Yeah, I mean, everybody had trouble with the Joker. Everybody had trouble with Embiid. You know, these big guys, you know. Giannis is a little different, you know, because he's more athletic. But these other two, you know, so why wouldn't you want to try and get someone? Here's a name I'll throw at you then.
Right? But even with Giannis, they had Lopez.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So here's a name. Tristan Vukovic. 7 foot, 230 pounds, Serbian. That's projected in the second round, just like the Joker, around 42. Watch that name.
Wow, that is I'm going through our comments. I think somebody brought that up earlier about the big guys getting overlooked. I don't know, though.
Well, But here's a problem. So if you're not Wembanyama and you're not like that, and you're 18 years old or 19 years old, and you're a big guy, you're 10 years from your prime. 10 years.
Yeah.
The prime of big is 30 to 34. So NBA scouts are afraid to take chances on him. But, I mean, if you're Zach Edey, who's 20, 21 years old, you know, you're closer to your – that's the mind-boggling thing.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think is going to happen with Damian Lillard in Portland?
I mean, that, you know, everyone says, you know, Miami's after him. Boston might be after him. You know, people like that. But then I just saw today that, you know, they're working out there. You know, they're working out all the draft picks. And, you know, every NBA team brings the draft picks in and works them out. Their coaches work them out. Some of the players. And he's been at those workouts in Portland. So to me, that seems like he's staying. But, you know, obviously he's a valuable asset that a lot of teams want and need. However, what you have to give up to get him is another question.
But my only thing about that, they're kind of stuck there. I mean, they're not going to beat anybody with just him there.
Nope.
They got a hard time winning a series.
Yeah, and they're not. I mean, Clippers, I don't know what happened to them. They should be there. Denver, Lakers, maybe. Dallas, maybe. Oklahoma City's coming up. You know, Memphis, Sacramento. I mean, that's eight teams right there, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So, you know, maybe he has to decide or, you know, hey, I need to go somewhere. And, you know, maybe I have to take a pay cut or a rearrangement of my contract or if he wants to make a run at this thing. Because it's not going to happen in Portland.
Yeah, I'm reading the Celtics plan to sign Jaylen Brown. They do not plan to trade Jaylen Brown, and it looks like they're going to sign him to a Supermax extension.
Yeah, okay, so what did we talk about at the beginning?
5 years, $295 million.
What did we talk about at the beginning of this show?
I don't get that one, man.
All the lying that goes on right now. We're not trading him. We love him. He's part of right. See you later. Yeah. This is a business. You know, Portland is looking at picking Amen Thompson, one of the twins, at the third pick. So,
right.
You know, but again, he's 18 years old, you know, so he's not going to come in and make you a contender right away anyway. So, you know.
Yeah. And Mo, when you hear that, you learn that personally here in Detroit, right at the trade deadline. They said, Mo, you're not going anywhere.
No, they told me that when I was buying my house 2 months before.
Yeah, that was
2 months later.
That was Trader Jack McCloskey too, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a business. You saw, you know, Chris Paul was on Good Morning America today. You know, he found out he was traded on the plane flying there to New York. And he told him, this is a business. Anything can happen in the NBA. I mean, you know, all those guys that are drafted on Thursday might be changing hats 1 hour later. Hey, yeah. Okay, you're this one, I'm that one. Give me that one. Okay.
I always remember Kobe Bryant. I think he had a Charlotte Hornets cap on.
Yep, absolutely.
The day he got traded.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the business. I mean, you know.
We need to see some twin tower lineups. So, well, you see it all the time, Steve, in
Milwaukee
with Giannis and Lopez, and they are very effective. They are very effective.
You got 6'8". You got 6'8", 6'11", 7 foot. That's your lineup. Lopez, Middleton, and Giannis. That's your lineup.
Yeah. And then you bring in Bobby Porter as well. He's 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, you know, I mean, you can't, the years of the big man, that's not dead. It's just different. Yeah. I mean, look at the MVPs. They're all 7 foot. The last 5 years, every MVP has been 7 foot tall. The best player in the NBA has been 7 foot tall.
Yeah, that is well said. No, any final thoughts before Thursday?
No, I mean, there's going to be some more shifting going on, some more lying going on. You know, the draft is interesting, but, you know, I mean, truthfully, if you're talking, you know, you're talking Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, it was Brad Miller, but his stock is dropping. After that, it's a crapshoot, right? You know, you got, you know, all these guys that, you know, have played and had, you know, if I'm there and I'm in the top five, I'm looking at Grady Dick. I know I'm a KU guy, but there's a 6'8", 6'9" guy that can shoot the lights out, you know? Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, shoot, he's like the next Duncan Robinson, except probably better, shoots better maybe. I don't know. But, you know, there's going to be some shifting in. You know, I'm interested to see if Brandon Miller drops. He's already dropping a little bit, if he drops more or not. Because he's one of the guys that's ready to help a team right now. 6'9", can handle the ball, shoot strong, finish, tough, you know. But, you know, we'll see on Thursday night.
Another one of most pet peeves. Steve, you're right. OKC got a million draft picks. And Mocha care less.
Yeah, I mean, what do they have? They have, so they have 12, right? They have the 12th pick, right? I don't know. They don't have anything after that. I mean, you're looking at teams that own the draft. Orlando has the 6th pick and the 11th pick. Will they trade and move up? Do they want Scoot Henderson? Do they want somebody else? Utah has 9 and 28. Houston has 4. That's valuable in 20. And Indiana has 7 and 29. But if you're OKC, your roster is already a college roster. They're all 19, 20 years old. So you can't win a championship. You can't get into the finals with that. You need some veterans on that team. So that's what's going to be interesting, you know, because they have a lot of young talent now. I'm talking about, you know, that are valuable. It's like in baseball, if the Dodgers or somebody has some, you know, has some people in their minor system, like pitchers or, you know, cleanup hitters and stuff. Those are valuable trade assets. Oklahoma City has them, but are you going to keep going? It's the future. We're building for the future. We're going to draft another 18-year-old, and he's going to come in, and he's not going to. Or are you going to make some moves, trade one of your assets, and trade some draft picks and get some veterans in there, then combine them with those young guys and maybe make a run at something?
Over the next 8 drafts, OKC has 33 picks.
How many are first rounds?
Let's see.
because
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, they have 9, 8 first rounds. Yeah.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But some of these are their own. So I don't have time to count.
I mean, to me, look at the draft. If you're not picked in Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, one of the two twins, or Brandon Miller, what's the point?
Right.
That's 6. So if you're picking anywhere below 6, what's the point in these draft picks? And right. Second rounders, you can buy for $100,000. So, right. You know, those draft picks to me – you know what my personal opinion? Those are front office people protecting themselves, saying, well, we have all these assets, you know, and we've really built these assets. They don't mean anything. You know what means something? Wins and losses.
Yeah.
Playoff victories. Playoff series victories. That's what matters. Draft picks and young players, who cares?
I mean, I am so with you on that, Mo. I am so that just seems so hollow to me. 33 picks. I think they like saying we have 33 picks over there. Yeah.
It's like hoarding. Hey, look, I got all this. Yeah, but
it sounds good, but there's no substance to that.
Nobody wants. I got a house full of stuff. Yeah, but nobody wants it. Nobody wants the stuff. It's garbage. Most of it's garbage. So here's the safe thing to do is keep doing that. Keep your job. The ballsy thing to do and what you should do is one of your young players that is into people want him, he's probably one of your best players. You should package him and and 10 of your draft picks and get two veterans that can help you win right now and help the young players get better.
Hey, Mo, one last thing. We hadn't talked about this guy in a while, and he's available for Porzingis. Talking about a 7-footer, a big guy.
Yeah, but what's his status? He's not a free agent, is he?
He has player options.
Yeah, so he has to decide, you know. But
And free agency starts, you got the draft Thursday, and free agency starts on the 30th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Porzingis is towards the end of his career, though. I mean, he's come off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the bid that I was looking at was trying to look for his name right here. I took a note here. He plays for the Bulls.
Is that Vukovic?
Yeah.
Vukovic.
Yeah.
Good player.
He averages 17 and 10. He's 6'10", 6'11", 260 pounds, and he's a free agent. So, Porzingis is making, you know, 30 million, whatever he's making. You could get a younger Vukovic and sign him. If I'm looking at a center, an impactful center, that's the guy I'm looking at.
And especially if you out west and you got to play against Joker. Yeah. He's got the size to at least battle with him, son.
You have to. I mean, look at, you know, you could just see it, you know. Miami didn't have any size, you know. They just couldn't battle him, and that could cost him a championship. And if you're in the West and you're trying to get to the finals, you better find someone that can battle him, you know.
Yeah.
You have to, or you're just treading water to lose in the West Finals.
Yeah. Well, big fella, we're going to get out of here. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hey, we've got an international audience, and we really appreciate it. Keep coming back and checking us out.
And share with your friends. Have your friends join us. Love it.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can catch this show and all our past shows on Believe. That's BLEAV.com, where you get all your – or where you get any of your favorite podcasts. Just look for We Got Next with Ricky Hampton and Paul McKesson.
We'll probably be doing something Friday, maybe after the draft.
We would definitely have a draft roundup. Break this down. No, I can't wait. I think this is really going to be interesting.
Hey, and your team in Detroit has the 5th pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at. They're looking at Cam Whitmore, I think.
From Villanova.
From Villanova to add to Duncan, Cunningham, Jay Knight, and Ivy. And they got a good group of young players there, man.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. But guess what they need? A big.
A big guy. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see. But until then, I'm Rick Hampton, Big Mo, Paul McKesson. Peace, everybody. See
Peace
you soon.
Out.
Look for us after the draft. We'll have something for you. Okay. Take care, everybody.